The Guardian.
Football Daily from Euro 2008.
Day three saw the group of death get underway. France-Romania brought on rigor mortis, but Holland buried Italy. Tuesday brings Group D. Spain face Russia, while Sweden take on the holders, Greece. As Sigmund would say, it's gonna be a mother. All that plus your posts and the day's really top news stories in Football Daily.
Football Daily from the Gerza Beer Clinic, Vienna, for Euro 2008.
Well, it's been another day of staggering action, and that was just Barry's trips to the bar here at the Gerza Beer Clinic in downtown Vienna, home of the Guardian Football Daily podcast. And I'm delighted to say that joining Barry and myself here is Matt Scott today. Hi, Matt.
Hiya.
How are you well?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's excellent. You've been hard at work in the media centre here in Vienna.
Yes. Well, somebody had to be.
Well, indeed, but you've been fishing up all sorts of tidbits. You were telling me an entertaining story about Steve McLaren picking up his pass.
Hilarious, yeah. I wasn't there, but my colleagues in Her Majesty's Press said that apparently he turned up to pick up his accreditation on Saturday, and the gentleman behind the press desk said, "Oh, I know you." And after about 3 minutes of searching through his memory banks, trying to place this ginger buffoon in front of him, who wasn't carrying a brolly at the time, came up with the answer, "Yes, Republic of Ireland manager." Which obviously, if only that had been on his CV.
Speaking of famous people being recognised, we had a post-pod incident last night on the Underground on the way home, when an incredibly drunk Belfastonian, in a Croatia shirt, yes, finally recognised TV's James Richardson, yes, who I suspect was getting a bit upset at having tramped around Vienna for 3 days without anyone knowing who he was.
Wearing a big T-shirt saying, "Yes, it's me," waving a gazetta.
But he didn't actually know your name, did he? He just thought you were that boy off the telly, you know, with the red wine and the pasta and the football.
Mm.
So, anyway.
Well, there you go. And so it's been an exciting time. That was clearly my highlight so far. But Matt, what's been your highlight so far of your time?
Wesley Snyder's goal tonight, actually. Yeah, I think that was outstanding, yeah.
Right, because the football's not been the best, but I think we did see some real quality there, didn't we, from Holland. Barry?
Well, I was still in a coma from the France-Romania game,
yes,
so a lot of the Holland match bypassed me completely.
Mm.
It was a 3-0 game, first game with more than two goals in it, but it still seemed really, really dull for some reason.
Do you think? There was plenty to admire in the match, and lots of things to kind of go ooh and ah about in the game. But mind you, we did have the added excitement of Matt Scott's patented corner coin game. Matt, as briefly as you can.
Pennies in the pot, however much, whatever denominations you wish. We had 10 euros each, which seemed a little extravagant.
We're that kind of people.
It passes around according to the number of corners that there are. I mean, this is a way of confusing the locals by being a group of Englishmen, the country that invented the game, and to shout corner as though something actually as important has happened on the football
pitch. So that's why the guy was saying, no wonder they didn't get to Euro 2000.
Yeah, that's probably right. No, Republic of Ireland manager Steve McLaren did have his... input in that as well.
I'd just like to absolve myself from this Englishness
right
vibe.
Well, indeed. And producer Pete got the money in the last seconds. There was a bit of a bitter thing. We've yet to see a game, though, in which both teams scored, and you'd like to really have one of those, perhaps tomorrow. Before we discuss today's events and tomorrow's, a quick romp through the day's news. Bong!
The curse of the Dutch training camp, scene of more bust-ups than a Beverly Hills clinic, has struck again. After Clarence Seedorf walked out pre-tournament, Wesley Snyder and Robin Van Persie became the latest pair to blow up after Van Persie sent Snyder to a hospital with an ugly tackle. Something else they offer treatment for in Beverly Hills.
Bong! Gus Hiddink and his Russia squad survived a tight situation on their arrival in the Austrian ski resort of Leogang when they were presented with authentic Austrian lederhosen. "The mayor asked me politely if I could put them on there in public," said Gus. Luckily for the manager, they were too small for him, so no one got to see what he was hitting.
Bong!
Not something that's ever worried Alan Shearer. The former England striker and outspoken BBC pundit is the latest top tip for the Blackburn Rovers job. Blackburn officials flew out to Euro 2008 for talks after Shearer apparently sent strong signals that he is interested in the job. However could they tell?
Football Daily in Vienna for The Guardian. Does what it says on the tin.
Well, big story then of day three, the Orange Crush in Bern, as Holland put three past the hapless world champions, who did show one or two signs of life towards the end of the game, so perhaps all is not lost for them. Barry, your thoughts?
My thoughts, possibly the Italian manager, Mr. Donadoni, left too late to bring on Cassano. The damage was all done at that stage.
I was just saying, you're echoing exactly what the Italian press are even as we speak, putting into their, that hot lead, etc., for the printing machines. And because that's the finger that's being pointed at Donadoni, he should have brought on. They mentioned Cassano. I thought Del Piero had a bit more impact, although Cassano did put a fantastic ball through for Luca Toni later on. Of course, Van der Sar was in outstanding form for the Dutch, without which maybe Italy would have gained a foothold in the later stage of this game.
In better form than the linesman, who frankly handed them the Dutch the platform from which to give the Italians a sound thrashing.
Mm. First goal at least a metre offside.
Yeah.
Without that, do you think it would have been a different outcome?
Well, I said to you, do you think that they could? Because I mean, it's a similar team to the spine of it, a similar team to the team that Arsenal destroyed, from the Milan team, the Arsenal team destroyed, a young side. Like several members of the Dutch team, hungry and with the point to prove. I wondered if they would fall apart if there was a goal from Holland. And you said they could fall apart like a wet bag. And
there is this thing. I was quite comforted by the fact that even though the result didn't go their way, they were they did keep their heads up and indeed were playing better at the end, or constructing a lot more. Mm. Maybe they were being allowed to construct a lot more by the Dutch in the closing stages than they had been at the start. But it was certainly similar to that Milan Champions League performance, in that they have a mechanism which can work beautifully, but they just couldn't get it to even start. Nothing clicked for them tonight.
And yet Holland, everything did. And
yeah.
It was a fantastic finish from Schneider, as we saw. What's really interesting is that the Holland were written off before the tournament started because of the problems that Marco van Basten has had in gelling that team. Obviously, particularly with Schneider and Van Persie falling apart, the same old, same old. But if they are able to use this as a launch pad, then you can win this tournament by winning fewer games than at the World Cup. So Holland's chance could be in for repeating what they did in the 80s.
I mean, we're six matches into the tournament now, and again, it's the same old, same old. There's been diving, has been endemic. Some of the officiating has been absolutely shocking beyond belief. I mean, and that linesman's, in this lack of decision tonight, I mean, Ruud van Nistelrooy was still looking over at the linesman while in mid-celebration, yeah, because he just couldn't believe the goal had been given. And it's as if he was expecting the flag to go up, 15 minutes later he was still checking to see, was the flag going to go up. So it's annoying, but what can you do?
Well, there you go. A fantastic start for the Dutch in a group that many people thought they would struggle to survive. They've taken a clear lead there. You have to say, though, it's not all over for Italy, because if they do a similar number on the French and Italy manage to beat Romania in the next one, then Italy could, by beating the French in the final group game, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, still go through without having to rely on other teams, perhaps. I think I'm right in saying. But let's just touch briefly, if we may, on that Romania-France extravaganza in Zurich on Monday afternoon. On the line now, Paul Doyle. Paul, you were there.
Yes. How are you, James?
I'm very well, Paul.
A load of morose-looking Italian fans have just boarded the train.
Oh, dear.
I'll try not to laugh.
Well, yeah, I don't think that would be at all pleasant for you to do so. There was precious little to chuckle about in Romania, France, getting you back on message.
Yes, it was a very subdued and tame affair. I was very disappointed with France. They looked very lethargic and slightly disjointed.
Right.
It is understandable in a way, but unforgivable in another.
Well, indeed. I think a lot of people are pointing the finger at them as the guilty parties for the worst game of the tournament so far.
I don't think it was the worst game of the tournament so far. At least quite even. There was a case of one team being more better than another, which we've seen in the tournament already.
Right.
Romania, in fairness, did what they had to do other than score on the break, which was pretty much their game plan. And there was this latent sense all throughout that as France became increasingly impotent, that Romania would hit them and pull off a 1-0 win,
which would have been a real tragedy, I think. Paul, I'm really sorry, because we were looking forward to speaking to you so much, but we're only getting about one word in three, so we might let you get back home and speak to you soon. There you go. Barry, what did you make of France-Romania? Go on. Worst game of the tournament so far?
It was slightly more excruciating than that, listening to Paul on that dodgy telephone line. I suppose those garaging issue mobiles are not standing up scrutiny at all. I've been sold a pup. He's obviously been sold a pup, or else it's just producer Pete's fault.
Well, I think we can rule that one out straight away. Okay, one game was really, really nothing happening in it. The other one, a huge debut performance from Holland, a team who everyone had said were not really up to their great footballing traditions. And they look like up there with who? Portugal and Germany? It's the teams to really lay down a marker so far, do you think, Matt?
Portugal obviously did look outstanding in the first game. I'm really disappointed with the French. I've just want to make that point because,
right.
They just didn't look fit. The same as Croatia didn't last night. Mm. I think there's a lot more to coming to these tournaments than to expect to roll over weak opposition, and that's the way that the Croatians and the French appear to have approached their games today.
Is it not just a case that players are knackered after a long season?
The big teams do seem to have that, don't they? The Italians,
because
arguably,
their players are involved in more games. They're playing Champions League games, they're playing more cup games.
Matt?
Look at history's World Cup winning teams. Didn't they play in big teams? These are always end of season tournaments. You know, you are only half a dozen games away from glory, and irrespective of how many games you've had to play during the season, that's what you're paid to do. I don't subscribe to that at all.
Football Daily from The Guardian at Euro 2008.
Listeners have been busy sending in top posts. Captain Kurting in Vienna explaining the footballing snails in wigs on TV that we were enjoying on ORF yesterday. The footballing snails on Austrian television, he says, are a reference to one of the most elegant footballers ever, Herbert Schneckel Prohaska. Because Schnecker is German for snail and Schneckel is Viennese dialect for curl. Herbert was named Schneckel for his curly hair, so he was known as the snail. So that's why they did it. And there you go, Barry.
Fascinating explanation.
It certainly is. Villa Sport Group, with regard to all the trouble we've had already, maybe UEFA should have a hooligan zone in the same vein as the simulated corporate-sponsored fun of the fan zones. They could situate it a few miles from the centre of town and hand out waffle bats to drunken, aggressive supporters to go at each other until their rage melts into exhaustion and then mutual appreciation. I don't think that's a good idea at all. Villa Sport Group.
Wouldn't go with the waffle bats, just go with knives and spikes and such like.
It said Barry,
they would do
joking
it properly.
And there we go. Now, Joe W. Oh, it was me Kevin was talking about from the accreditation centre in Zurich. He came in and I recognised his voice. He tipped Poland to cause an upset, and of course that didn't quite pan out. I met Desai and Haji today and they weren't quite as pleased to meet me, says Joe W. Other interesting things. Already, Zen reckons an early contender for save of the tournament, Artur Boric from Balak. You agree with that? It was a good save, wasn't it?
Yeah, although Edwin van der Sar, as you
mentioned, Edwin van der Sar's maybe
a couple of peerless saves, maybe.
Okay. Dogman Star, touching on what's been a highlight of the tournament so far for many of viewers, the footballs. They may cost 150 euros a pop, but a white ball with black spots, like God intended, it's like a 1970s Life on Mars-style throwback, says Dogman Star in Dublin. I was a bit surprised that Setmar and Gerd Müller didn't turn out for Germany last night. Blue Canuck in London says, brilliant those video segments, can't wait for the next one. Well, there's exciting news on that front, isn't there, Barry?
Well, there's very exciting news. We recorded two today.
One, I think.
Well, I recorded two, and the second one I did that you would have take no part in, that's certainly not worth waiting for, I can assure listeners. It's taken gonzo journalism to an entirely new height, which probably an ill-advised one.
Right. Is it Lederhosen again?
There's no Lederhosen involved, although they might have livened it up slightly. But yes, we had an interesting visit to the Kunsthan, is it?
Something along those...
The Artists' Museum, where they're putting on a big football exhibition, which is really entertaining.
Well, we had a very entertaining time, and you may find it entertaining when you see it on the Guardian's kind of video service. There was all sorts of karaoke style and interaction going on there. And
I scored my first international goal.
You did indeed.
For Austria.
You? Take that, Faroe Islands.
Oh,
and interestingly enough, weather
faces. Can I give you an aside to this?
Please do.
International goals. Well, the England would be here, but
want the England would be here business. Go on.
Well, no, it's true. I mean, but for the evening that, one of the aforementioned Mr. McLaren's errors earlier was the game against Russia, in which England were beaten 2-1.
Yes.
At half time, England were 1-0 up, And the Russians decided to raise the morale of the of the assembled 90,000 Russian fans at the Luzhniki Stadium by reading out over the tannoy the result of the Russian press team against the England press team, in which we got thoroughly humped 8-3.
Wow.
And they came and stuffed us 2-1 in the second half.
Your part in their downfall, mate.
Indeed. I also got hooked midway through the second half. And so, when it was actually only 4 or 5-3.
Right, okay. It's an important detail, perhaps you'll remember as the podcast wears on. A Weatherface in Auckland, New Zealand says UEFA sanctioned James Richardson Voice light entertainment on his New Zealand TV. We have to question AC Jimbo's impartiality when conversations turn to the profound incompetence of UEFA. If he was any deeper in Sepp Blatter's pocket, he'd be a €50 note about to pay for an Amsterdam trouser cuff. I really don't know what that means in New Zealand slang, but it doesn't sound pleasant. Delboy 2006, among the many others, commenting on my ubiquity. And
Speaking of which, yes, you pitched up at the football exhibition we were at.
That was quite a shock.
You were in each corner of one very large room, giving commentaries on various things.
I should say in my defence that I just did some. I did a bit of a favour for somebody at a facilities house who needed a voice putting down on some stuff, and so I did. And to my enormous surprise, it's now turned up on about every single network on the planet.
And you're just really upset because you're not getting royalties for it.
That's not the point, as far as I'm concerned.
You're a shill, Richardson. No. There is nothing you won't do for
cash. I just don't like to wear out my welcome with the kind listeners there. Now, before we move on to the raw excitement that is Group D. Matt, you were telling us an interesting story, and perhaps that's a dangerous way to preface it, but anyway, it involves Fabio Capello.
Well, I hope it goes down better than the England press team story.
Oh, that's been cut out, don't worry.
Oh, okay. I can understand. Fabio Capello gave a press briefing today with about a dozen journalists, and he was doodling his way through it, as Barry Glendening does, but with slightly less anger in his wrist.
What did he draw? Right.
He drew four squares, yes. Of differing sizes, all alongside each other, and in one of those squares, a little triangle.
Do they have lots of zeros
formation.
In
them? And well, the typical Italian, the Catenaccio squares.
Oh, right. Okay.
And some little circles, and apparently, this betokens a man. With a strong and well-directed mind.
Right.
The geometrically linked squares reveal having concrete practical concepts.
Right, so far so...
Yeah, understandable. And these heavy presented strokes reveal an obsessive nature, apparently.
All right.
Now, he was talking to the press, yes. And the circle discloses a closing up, warding off of the outside world, apparently.
Mm.
And the jagged lines that he drew around the perimeter of these little boxes are somebody who is being aggressive and defensive. So I believe in graphology.
Well, that's fair enough. I was hoping for something a bit more, like maybe a picture of some daisies or something like that.
No,
that we really
like
weren't
that.
Expecting.
That is not going on in the Capello mind.
All right, okay.
We went to Vienna for Euro 2008 and all you got was this lousy podcast.
Now, Tuesday's excitements involve Spain, another of the favourites, taking on Russia in Innsbruck. And Jonathan Wilson, you're heading there for the game, are you? Jonathan Wilson, you're on the line.
I am, yeah. I'm just on the train going back from Zurich to Bern tonight, having watched Romania get a very good draw, I thought, against France. I know it probably wasn't pretty, and people would have preferred it to be rather more exciting, but I thought Romania defended very well, and I was actually relatively impressed by them.
Oh, good.
And tomorrow, early start, off to Innsbruck, 5-hour train journey, to watch Russia start against Spain.
That's a long way on the, because it's a nice pacey train, isn't it? But still, yeah, 5 hours.
It's not as far as Innsbruck to Geneva the following day to watch Portugal v. the Czech Republic, which is 7 hours, I think.
But, is there not an aeroplane or something that would do the job for you?
On my budget, you're joking.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't. But okay, fair do. Because you think of them as being small countries, these, but they are actually enormous distances to go from one end to the other, aren't they?
They've got big mountains in the way as well, haven't they? That's the other problem.
They certainly have. Barry's frowning at us. I think it's time to move on. Listen, Jonathan, you'll be excited by Spain-Russia, I know. What do you think of Russia's chances of putting a major, I don't know, I was going to say Spaniard in the works type thing with it?
To be honest, I think they're a little unfortunate in the order of games. I think Spain is the last team they'd want to play first, if that makes any sense. I think they'll kind of remember the last World Cup when Ukraine got spanked 4-0 by Spain in their opening game. I think they will kind of create a fear factor, and that's exactly what Hiddink's been trying to get rid of. He's been trying to relax, and they've always spoken about this inferiority complex. I mean, I know I've gone on about this on pods before, that's always been a great Russian problem, that they haven't quite had that belief, and they've always underperformed as a result. One of Hiddink's great strengths, supposedly, has been to get rid of that, although you look back at the game in Israel when they lost 2-1 and then a very scrappy win over Andorra to finally qualify, and you wonder how much he actually has done. He was talking in the press conference today, which I obviously wasn't at, but I've about it since. He was saying that it's all about rhythm, it's all about self-belief, it's all about them going out and expressing themselves. So he's trying to kind of ramp up this self-belief and get them to play, as they did in Macedonia, which is when they won 2-0, which is a great breakthrough game, when they played a very attacking game and really kind of changed the whole mindset of the nation in that game.
I was watching one of their crucial last qualifiers against Israel at the game, and Israel are an obdurate side, but not a particularly talented one. And Russia, like you say, didn't look particularly handy without their 80,000 fans behind them. Can you see them really troubling the scorers here, where they don't, they don't have that home advantage?
I do worry for them. As I say, I think Spain is the worst team for them to play first. I think if they'd been playing one of the other two games, they might have had a little more confidence about themselves. And things have gone badly as well, with Xavi not being there for the first two games. Also, Pogrebnik having the knee injury that's ruled him out now. I mean, they very much are now reliant on Pavlyuchenko and Tyshev. Pavlyuchenko Hiddink was clearly making a big point of bigging him up today, saying that he'd been concerned before the tournament whether he was fit enough. He's gone through his 2-week intensive program, and he says he's now as fit as he's ever seen him. So he's obviously trying to boost Pavlyuchenko's confidence. I think it very much is a confidence. The thing is, Russia, when they play well, when Pavlyuchenko came on against England in Moscow, for instance, Russia played pretty ordinary that first hour. Pavlyuchenko came on, and the 10 minutes that followed him coming on, when Russia scored twice, is one of the longest 10 minutes of football I've ever seen. It was wave after wave of Russian attack kind of picking on the England goal, and England finally cracked. I mean, okay, mistakes by England, but they were mistakes that were forced upon them by Russia. So if they can hit that kind of form, and yes, they can cause anybody problems, whether they'll do that tomorrow, I suspect not.
Interesting. Spain, of course, is going to be playing under loads of pressure with all the history of much promise and little delivery that nation carries with it. Beyond that, what have you enjoyed particularly? Have you enjoyed anything from the tournament so far in your travels, Jonathan?
I enjoyed Romania today, and I'll be in a minority saying that, but I thought they defended magnificently. I thought Victor Peterka got his tactics spot on. They played exactly as I thought they were, the two banks of four. You're breaking forward from left back with Razvan Rats, who I thought was magnificent today. I was very pleased to see him get the result, because this group now is going to go down to the final game. There's no way it can't. The danger always with these groups of death is that, had Fantasy won their first two games, then they'd have gone to that final game and it would have been a dead rubber and it would have been a bit anticlimactic, which, for instance, thinking back to, say, Euro 2000, when you had France, Holland, the Czech Republic and Denmark in the same group, which was a group as tough as this group. And that's what you had there. The France and Holland won their first two games. It was all a bit, it was all a bit predictable and all a bit obvious. Whereas today, I think the tournament's actually woken up a bit after a fairly slow start. Holland, obviously, a great result for them, and a very surprising result given what we were expecting before the tournament.
Yeah.
Romania getting a very good draw. And I think Romania won't take the game to anybody, but there's absolutely no reason why they can't shout at Italy again, possibly even nick it themselves. And I think Romania will be thinking, we've had a pretty good day today. Holland obviously had a better day, but to see that the two World Cup finalists in trouble this early, I think is fascinating.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting, nice one. Jonathan, we look forward to speaking to you again soon. Have a great time there on your way to Innsbruck.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers, bye. Jonathan.
For more great podcasts, visit guardian.co.uk/audio.
The other game, of course, from Group D on Tuesday, the holders, the Greeks taking on Sweden in Salzburg. Did you know, and possibly you did, that the Greeks picked up more points in qualifying than any other nation?
I actually did know that.
There you go.
Amazing. Sorry to burst your little bubble.
No, I'm delighted that you know, and I thought you would. But that's the thing, because everyone thinks, it was a complete fluke and one of the biggest upsets in the history of any sport, in the history of the galaxy, whatever, when they won it last time. And there's no way they're going to do it again, but they do come in decent form.
I think they did. They definitely won it on merit last time round, but it wasn't pretty to watch, and they did ride their luck at times, you know. But, you know, they won, and no one could begrudge them their victory. I suppose everyone begrudged them their victory. But
particularly the Turks.
I honestly can't see them winning again.
There you go. Otto Rehhagel, still their manager. I think 7-11th or so of the first team, still their first team. And they're going to be taking on the Swedes, who are the oldest squad at Euro 2008, with an average age of 29 years and 85 days. Freddie Ljungberg, of course, in there, if he's in any way fit. No, is he not fit, Matt?
No, I mean, Freddie Ljungberg hasn't been fit since his hip injury after the 2002 World Cup.
Right, another possible key man, striker Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who's failed to score for his country now since the 12th of October 2005 against Iceland. So, boy, we've been waiting a long time for him to do his thing on the international stage again.
That's exactly it, and they are so reliant on him. I mean, they are an impotent team, Sweden. I can't see them beating even a fairly defensive Greek side.
Hopefully I'm tempting fate here, but I think Sweden-Greece tomorrow could make Romania-France look like, you know, Cirque du Soleil. Or multiply by 10.
Or snail football in wigs.
Or snails with wigs playing football, which I must say made France.
It's the future, really. I don't know if anyone's got that concept in England yet, but good. Do you know, I think that's probably it. Matt, well past your bedtime, so you know, bless you for turning.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's right. You've had a long day digging. And the fruits of your labour is going to be visible in the Guardian on Tuesday.
Talked about it.
Well, I'm sure there'll be some other delights there as well. Barry, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
And producer Pete. Good. And many thanks to you, the listener. We're back tomorrow with more top guests and phone-ins, he said, with a slight note of alarm in his voice after our telephonic misadventures this evening from the Gusser Beer Clinic in downtown Vienna, Austria. So see you then.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.